Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, peoples. It is Sunday, August 23rd. This is Real Talk, and I am your host, Real. I hope everybody had a good weekend. Today I'm kind of going to just expound on what I talked about on Wednesday. I guess not expound on it, but just kind of broaden it a little bit, if you will. When it comes to, how we behave as people and the things that we're supposed to do as Christians, and the simple fact that it's not supposed to be, that the whole Christian walk is not supposed to be easy. Sometimes we get lost in the fact that, what the end game is. Like what's the goal? Why do we do the things that we do? What's the point? Is a question, right? You want to know, hey, if God's telling me to do all of this stuff, then, why should I do it? Why am I doing it? So I'm going to kind of give you my take on it. Why I think we should be doing the things that we do as Christians, and, I guess what the benefit of it is, right? Because everybody wants to get, you want to get something for your work. You want to get something out of it, I guess. And it sounds selfish, but, that's the reality of a situation. Like, there's always a reward for the things that we do. So I named today's show, we talking about practice, because that's what I believe we're doing. And to kind of lighten the mood before I get heavy, I'm going to play a clip. And you'll understand the parallels after the clip. Some of you all may know this clip, may not know the clip, but I'm going to play it anyway. It's one of the funniest clips ever. But here it is, and then, I'll jump into it after this clip plays.
It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice. We're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice. Not a game. Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We're talking about practice, man. I mean, how silly is that, man? We're talking about practice. I know I'm supposed to be there. I know I'm supposed to lead by example. I know that. And I'm not shoving it aside, like it don't mean anything. I know it's important. I do. I honestly do. But we talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice? We're talking about practice, man. We're talking about practice. We ain't talking about the game. We're talking about practice, man. When you come in the arena and you see me play, don't you?
Absolutely.
You see me give everything I got, right?
Absolutely.
But we talking about practice right now. We're talking about
practice.
Man, look, I hear you. It's funny to me, too. It's strange to me, too. But we talking about practice, man. We're not even talking about the game, the actual game, when it matters. We're talking about practice.
Alan, is it possible, though, that from where he...
So, what we talking about tonight is practice. What kind of practice, specifically? In my head, and for those of you all who don't know, that was Alan Iverson, the basketball player. I'm a basketball fan, so I tend to pull a lot from basketball analogies, from the basketball arena, both figuratively and literally. So we're talking about the only kind of practice that matters, from my perspective anyway. You see, as Christians, being here in this world and on this earth is temporary. Obviously, as the average person only lives to be about 90 or so. So since the time on this planet is temporary, then I think you have to take that further and look at and understand what's permanent. And what is permanent is the question, right? Well, to answer that, the thing that's permanent is the thing that happens after those 90 or so years that you get. You know, after those 90 or so years, you either have the gift and the reward of eternal life, or you get eternal damnation. And that aspect of things solely hinges upon what team you play for. If you playing for God's team, or if you play for the devil's team, and depending on which team you play for, that determines where you spend your eternity. That determines where you spend that time, after those 90 years are gone. So that's what matters. The big game, the championship, if you will, and that being eternal reign with Christ. So that, I guess the question is, when do you prepare for that, right? That's what we're talking about right now. How do you get prepared to reign eternally with Christ? Well, that's where the practice comes in, because how do you know what you're going to do when you get there? So you prepare for those things, if you're a Christian, while you're alive. The fact is that if you aren't attempting to emulate Christ, then you're not going to reign with him. That's just the bottom line. And I say attempt because none of us are perfect. You know, Christ was the only person to walk this earth that was perfect. So from that standpoint, you know, all we can do is attempt to emulate his behavior here on God's earth, here on this planet. And as we make those attempts, as we make those strides, if we're successful, then we get the reward at the end of it, which is going to heaven and having that eternal reign with him. So, you know, having said that, once we get to heaven, because none of us are perfect, but once we get to heaven, then, you know, there's no sin in heaven. So we will at that point be made perfect in order to be able to enter. Once we've met the qualifications of this life. So, you know, and then as coaches say, or as people have heard coaches say, and it's relevant in this instance, practice makes perfect, because the idea is to be perfect so you can enter the kingdom with God. But I think it's more relevant to say something that one of my coaches told me when I was a kid. He would say that practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. So the idea is to perfect that which you're doing, because anybody can practice, right? So that's what the cookie cutter Christians do. That's what the people who are just going through the motions of saying they're a Christian and not living the life, that's what they do. Right, they just practice. It's not a perfect practice. It's not the idea that everything that I do in practice has to be perfect so that we can be perfect. And the Bible, Jesus says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." So that's the standard. The standard is perfection. So from our standpoint, we are to live our lives, or to live this life, in preparation for the real life, the eternal life. And, you know, the Bible tells us and lays out for us how to prepare for that. and how to prep for that, and tells us that we need to and how to focus on eternity instead of focusing on the prep. Because when we focus on the prep, we get lost in the things that happen down here while we're prepping. And most of the stuff that happened down here, that happens while we're prepping, doesn't pertain to Christians. So you can look at all the stuff in the world that's going on today. We've talked about a lot of them on this show. You know, those things don't pertain to us. So we have to prep according to the Bible. And in that regard, we have to focus on accumulating things that will be there once this eternal journey starts, as opposed to, you know, the stuff that we worry about on a day-to-day basis, those things that'll never matter after we die. So I'm going to jump around the Bible tonight. I'm going to start in Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21. So verse 19 says, lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So when we focus on, you know, the things that are here, the things that we can see and touch and hear and feel, we lose sight of God. So when we worry about all of this stuff that we can't take with us, that's not practice for heaven, because this stuff's not going to heaven. So, you know, just in the basic form of things, right there, you know, Jesus is telling us to change our focus. So if we understand the end result, then we can understand what it takes to get there. And so the end result is heaven. So that's where we should always keep our focus. Matthew 13, I'm going to do a couple verses. I'm going to do 44 and 45 and then 47 through 50. And as always, people, feel free to give me a call. Interrupt me. We can get into an engaging conversation if you like, or shoot me a message in the chat, and I'll be sure to answer that and acknowledge that. So Matthew 13, 44 through 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth. And for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So what they're talking about, what Matthew's talking about, or what Jesus is saying in Matthew here, is that, you know, like, it's like heaven is the most treasured thing. Like, you give up everything to get to heaven. And if you're a Christian, you should know and understand and believe and feel that. If you don't, then, you know, if you aren't willing to give up everything you have now, if you have a lot, or go through everything like we talked about last week, if you're going through in order to get to heaven, then you need to redirect your focus. And then verse 47 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. 49. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from amongst the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So that, once again, is talking about the practice that you have to put in order to even get into heaven. Everybody's going to be judged. That's what the analogy of the net is for. Like, the kingdom of heaven is like a net. So everybody gets judged. And then so Jesus judges. The good get to go to heaven, and the bads get cast into the furnace, as verse 50 says. So you have to make up your mind where you want to be when it's all said and done. If you want to be with God, or if you want to, you know, play around in that furnace. So now I'm in John chapter 14. I'll go verse 1 through 4. And Jesus is having a conversation with the disciples, and he's basically comforting them to help them understand why they're going through the things that they go through. So why do you practice, right? You practice in preparation for the game. The ultimate goal, the ultimate prize is the championship. So this is Jesus explaining to them, hey, like this is why we practice. This is why we go through the things that we go through. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. So he's telling them, look, it's paradise. I got mansions up there. You know, you guys know I don't lie. I won't lie to you. So I'm going to get those mansions set up so y'all can come with me and be there with me when it's all said and done. So that's what it's for. Like, don't worry about it. I got you. I'm going there. I'm going to set this thing up. And whenever I talk about this scripture in particular, one of the things I always say, and the more I think about it, I think it's probably true. There's not a lot of people in heaven, so that's why Jesus is able to give everybody mansions. There's a lot of real estate there. You know, Bible also says narrow is the way, is the path of righteousness. So that means not a lot of people are going down that road, which means hell is probably full. But the standard, though, is godliness. You know, and it's to follow Jesus no matter what. And we have to be content with our godliness, because, like, in reality, that's really all that we have. You know, if we're godly, that's going to be a part of our spirit when we die, because the stuff, like I said, that we accumulate, we can't take it with us. And so now I'm in 1 Timothy 6, and I'm going to read verses 7 through 11 and then 17 through 19. So verse 7 says, as a matter of fact, I'm going to back up to verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. So, you know, that's be happy with food and clothes. All right. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. It's, you know, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. You know, we can't take anything out. So all the stuff that we chase after on a daily basis, and, you know, all the nice things that we want, like, yeah, that stuff is nice, but it shouldn't be our focus. Because, like, you ever, and I use this term a lot, and it's true, that people always say, more money, more problems. And essentially, like, verse 9 says that, but they which will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. A snare is a problem. It's an issue. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts. So, yeah, I mean, it's your focus changes. when you have money. You start doing things that you probably wouldn't do. You focus on things that you probably wouldn't focus on. Notice that in verse 10 doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And it causes you to go away from your faith. Yeah, everything we need is right here. Like it tells us that. And then later on in verse 17, it says, charge them that are rich in this world that they not be high-minded, nor trust in certain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So, once again, this is a series of scriptures that kind of sums up everything that I've said so far. It's not saying, you know, it's not saying it's bad to be rich. It's a warning. It says, charge them which are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. So don't think that you are more than what you are just because you have money. Don't put your faith in the money that you have. And, you know, but the things that you have, the things that you should put your faith in, if you want to be rich in the good works that you do, ready to share, willing to communicate, and building yourself in rewards once you get to heaven. Because that's what it's about. The more things, after you become saved and after you become a follower of Christ, the more things you do according to God's word and God's will, the more rewards you get into heaven. You get once you get in heaven. So it's not just a matter of getting to heaven. It's being adorned with the crown jewels and all the other perks and blessings and rewards that God gives you up there. You know, so you have to go beyond, I guess, just doing the basic. And the basic is believing. So you have to act on that belief and live the way that God wants us to live and model ourselves after Jesus Christ. So I'm jumping back to Matthew now. I'm going to read Matthew 5 and 12. Matthew 5 and 12 says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets which were before you. So we talked about last time, they got on Wednesday, we talked about all the things that you had to go through if you're a Christian. This is again Jesus saying why you go through this stuff. You're supposed to rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And then down in verse 20 of chapter 5, he says again, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter in the kingdom of heaven. So that's like one of the first scriptures that outlines, look, there's a standard that needs to be set. And you have to understand what this standard is in order for you to enter into heaven. So now I'm going to cover some of those standards, and then, you know, kind of what happens at the end of things. So, in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. I'm going to read now as I get into the standards, the things that you need to not do, the things you need to stay away from, and who is actually able to get into heaven, because it's not for everybody. Everybody's not going to be able to get there. So 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? It's that simple. Is that simple? And that's only the first half of the verse. So it continues on. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And then verse 10 continues on. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. It's that simple. Like, if you sin, you don't go to heaven. It's, you know, it's pretty cut and dry. But I think a lot of times as people, we ignore the qualifications and we have just because we're practicing. But the idea is to know and understand those rules. So when you play a sport, like in practice, you learn everything there is about the sport. So if it's your first time playing a sport, and I'm just going to go out on a limb and say this is everybody's first time at life. So if it's your first time playing a sport, at some point the rules of that sport have to be explained to you. And then once you understand the rules, you can actively play that sport. In any sport, if you break the rules of the sport, there's a penalty. It's the same thing with being a Christian. It's the same thing with living life. You know, you have to reap what you sow. There's a penalty whenever you break the rules that God has put into place for us. And one of those penalties is you don't inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible also tells us that the wages of sin is death. And you know, as people, you have to be okay with that. So I'm gonna jump now to First Corinthians 15 and verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So, you know, if you're corrupted, you're not getting into heaven. And we aren't going into heaven as people, as our spirits go. So, you know, these bodies, the bodies that we live in, the bodies that we walk around in and operate in, as I've said earlier, they are temporary housings. You know, they're only here for a time. And then after that, you have to figure out what it is you want to do with the rest of your time. You know, all right. So now moving on to Galatians. Galatians 5, 16 and 20. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So that covers a lot. So if you're out there and you're listening to this and you're doing any of those things, you're not going to heaven. It's just kind of that simple. But if you stay away from those, because those things are not allowed in heaven. So God cannot allow you to participate in those things and still go to heaven. Like that's your practice. What are you practicing for? How are you practicing to go to heaven if you're doing the things that God is telling you not to do? These are the questions that we have to ask ourselves. You know, but a lot of times people don't want to ask those questions because it's a tough question, because it means you have to look at yourself. You have to acknowledge the fact that you're sinning. You have to address that sin, and then you have to do something about it. It's a hard thing for people to do because sin is always fun. It's always good. Like, people don't want to stop doing things because they like doing things. You know, that's the entire parody there. And you have to figure out where your priorities and your allegiance lie. You know, and as you grow as a Christian and as you learn and understand the things that we're supposed to be doing as followers of Jesus Christ, making that decision becomes easy. So once you make that decision and you start to live the life that Jesus lived, or you try to emulate his life and walk in his footsteps, and you know, and then you get rewarded for it at the end. So, and the separation that comes when we die, it's just like the fish in the net. But, you know, Jesus is our shepherd. So as sheep, you know, we are supposed to follow him. You know, and Matthew 25, I'm going to go back there again. Matthew 25 and 33 says, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. So who are the goats? The goats are the rebellious ones who don't follow the laws of Jesus Christ, the ones who aren't doing the things that he commissioned us to do in order to get to heaven. Verse 34 says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, remember these are the sheep, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So the kingdom's been there. Like, heaven's been there. It's there. It was prepared. You know, God intended for us to be able to commune with him like we did initially when we were created. You know, we were created. We had direct contact with God. We were there in the Garden of Eden. Like, God was there. We felt his presence. It was a wonderful thing. And then after Adam sinned, you know, all that was taken away. So, you know, we spend our physical lives trying to get that back. And that's what the end game is. So, you know, once you're done, and I'm going to go Matthew 25 and 21. I'm going to jump back up to verse 21. And then once we're done, verse 21 says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That's what everybody wants to hear. That's what we all want to hear. And that scripture comes from a parable about a master who gave some of his servants some money, and, you know, just kind of see what they did with it. And he did with it, what he gave to them, and the ones who did right by it, the ones who were the good stewards over the things that they were given, and you know, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what we all want to hear. That's the goal. That's the end game. That's the reason why we're here. Because the question that you have to ask yourself as people, just as people, as just logically thinking people, which one would you rather gamble with? Which one would you rather put your faith in? Would you rather put your faith in the 90 or so years that you're going to get on this planet? Or would you rather put your faith in eternity? Like, you can't, there's no time frame for eternity. It's eternity. So for me, you know, I'm not going to gamble. I'm not going to bet on, you know, doing what I want to do or making myself feel good or committing all the sins and enjoying this world for the 90 or so years that you get here. It's about priorities. And when you're practicing for the big game, you practice like it is the game. As an athlete, that's one thing I know. Like, practice is never meant to be taken lightly. You have to push yourself the same way that you would in the game. You have to train and work and persevere through injuries and the hardships the same way you would in the game. And it's no different being a follower of Christ. You have to persevere, and you have to push, and you have to practice, and you have to train, and you have to act and behave just like you would if you were in heaven, because that's where you want to go. So ask yourself, is it worth risking eternity just to have fun for 90 years? As always, truth is real. This was real talk. See you on Wednesday. I'm out.